Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Never trying to be a jerk. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard, one and all. 2 minutes of change after the hour on a beautiful Tuesday in the nation's capital. And that's because it's beautiful weather-wise and because the local football team is 6-2 at essentially the midway point of the NFL season. Matty Ice is on the other side of the glass, and we are always happy to have our pal, our friend, Richard Doc Walker, in studio on this show. And Doc, I have not talked to you. I have not heard your reaction. I'm sure you were elated and over the moon like everyone was on Sunday night. But I was, you know, down in the locker room as you were beginning your post-game show. By the way, each and every game following immediately the final gun, you get to hear and interact with the DOC, home and on the road, including this Sunday after the 1 o'clock start at MetLife Stadium, but certainly last Sunday night as everybody was pouring out of Northwest Stadium. The first place they should tune is 106.7 or 980 to listen, or on the Odyssey app, to the DOC. Break it all down. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Yeah, Chris, I was really frustrated. It was irritating to watch a game that I thought we should be up 30-0.
Yeah.
And then I'm realizing that first team scores and I'm playing the game on X with our followers, the first team score is going to win. It may not be us. So for me, it was a very difficult game to watch, realizing that how much better we were than our opponent, but yet we may not win it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was frustrating. And you know it when you kick field goals and field goals and field goals and you're in the red zone. We're not playing smart. We're playing hard, but not smart. And the Bears are good, and Caleb is unique. And all those things I kept thinking, I cannot believe. We're better than we were a year ago when we got slaughtered, but yet we're good enough to beat anybody we play. So I want the wins. And so it was aggravating as hell. But the outcome, the finish was beautiful. Love that. The people that were there enjoyed the, they deserved that victory. Our fans have been tortured. So all that was great. But it still, for me, was so, you know, it's so hard to be good. It's so hard to win in this league. And I just hated the fact that we monkeyed around with these chumps.
The elation of the conclusion masks some of the stench, if you will, of the shortcomings. Does that make sense?
Well, it can, yeah. And for the fans, it will.
I don't know if it will for the fans.
I think the fans are just, they won, and it's elation.
I think you and I, and certainly I would hope the coaches and the players, and I know some of the players that I talked to on Sunday night, you know, felt that they left a lot on the table and that that game could have been a lot easier on the soul.
30-0.
And it's not it's not often that you get those. Let's put it this way: it's not often that you get a blowout. They've had several blowout wins, right? Arizona, Cleveland, and Carolina. It's more often the case of, well, it could have been a blowout if we would have done X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C, which is how I felt. Certainly, that game, the Chicago Bears win, was. And you can make an argument, even though I thought the Giants were punch for punch, toe to toe, and certainly had their own right to win that game in week two, you could have made an argument, well, if we did this and if we executed this, well, we wouldn't have had just 21 points. We could have had 35 points or 38 points or whatever the case might be. And you could always play the woulda, coulda, shoulda, all that stuff. Doc, I would say this. And you know this. A win is a win is a win is a win. And that's the most important thing. And you kind of hope that. And I think this team has the correct temperature to say, okay, we won, and maybe we won a game that we should have won easily, and then we should have lost. Because I think you could look at it both ways, but we won. Now, how do we avoid being the cardiac kids? How do we avoid depending on the football gods shining on above? Because that's essentially what happened. There was some skill involved in that final play. I'm not trying to take, of course, Noah Brown sitting there wide open. How much skill there?
But they do work on it.
You've seen the drills. But for Jaden, there's skill because he's got to run all the way to his right, elude, maybe got some help because of a Wiley hold, elude pass rush pressure right up in his face, and he's got to know somehow, some way, as he's doing that, somebody's not on his back, like trying to blow him up from behind, or as he spins and turns around and goes all the way back to his left to reset, refire, reflip, what have you.
That's why he won the Heisman.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he just,
and it also helps that the Bears are only rushing three.
Well, that's on them.
But
Caleb
so much
could have done the same thing.
Yeah.
You got two guys capable of doing. All I'm saying is that when a magician does a trick, I just give him his credit. He's a magician. So he did some things only a few people in the world can do. But everybody goes through the same process. The Bears had a jackass on their team that was taunting the crowd and not doing his job, and he enabled that.
Yes.
He was the assist man on it. So chalk up one for the Huxtables, the Millennials, and all the people surfing the World Wide Web, because he had his brain wasn't in the game.
Yeah,
he's taunting, and that's one of the reasons, a contributing factor.
Yes.
While I'm glad we got the W, but I would like us to understand that you may not get this fortunate down the road. You got a chance to be really good, but you got to seize the moment and understand that this only happens, the window is short. And that's what was frustrating to me, because I really believe this team has a shot, but they got to believe it. We just can't keep having these penalties in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up on you. And you're going to play, and Wiley, man, God, what a game. Because Sweat is prehistoric.
Yeah.
He's one of the few people in the world that can match up with JD.
Yeah.
Especially a JD not 100%.
Yeah.
So that shows you the variance of when you have why these prize athletes are so important, that when you have one, you don't F it up. Because they're so rare. So it was fortunate. And so, you know, to win, you got to be fortunate. But you also got to force your fortune. And McCaffrey, man, this kid, man, I hope that he gets the fortune he deserves. He is so close to being the difference maker that he is.
He almost had that touchdown in the corner of the end zone.
Inches. Yeah. But it's always that. Every week, he's close. He's close. Around it. I believe in the end, he's going to be the reason these things work. But we got to cash in on it. And secondary, the defense, wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, guys coming up, that's why, you know, you only get one shot at it. You don't know when it's going to be special. You can plan all you want to plan and draft choices. It could be right here, right now.
Well, so that's a good kind of bridge to what I wanted to ask you and the audience at 301-230-0980. And we'll get the callers involved early here. And that is, they are 6-2. You are what you are, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the great thing about sports is your record doesn't always tell you with full context what you are, but it tells you what you are, okay?
Same keep score.
Right, exactly. You're 6-2, whether you should be, whether you shouldn't be, whether people like it, think it's fair, whether they think it's real, what have you. We do know that there's context to things, right? Like, I don't want to go back to some gory times, but in 2018 they were 6-3 heading into that late mid-November game. A couple of weeks from now, it was like November 18th, roughly, against the Houston Texans, and Alex Smith was the quarterback, and everyone knew, hey man, it's not a really good 6-3 team. That's a team that's struggling to survive and hang on and whatever. I get the sense that this is a very, very, very different team, although when they don't execute in the red zone via penalty, via getting away from the run, via being just this far off, certainly you wonder if that's going to catch up to them. But I get the sense that this is a very now they're 6-2, not 6-3. But I get a sense that they're a very different team than that team. Okay, and even in Jim Zorn's first year, 2008, and this was before I got on the beat, but you were there, right? You were doing all the sideline broadcasts, whatever.
Yep.
6-2. I don't know how many people thought, oh, that's a great team. They were 6-2. Did people think they were a great team? So my question to you and to the audience is that 6-2, essentially, at halftime, it'll be this Sunday at MetLife Stadium. It'll be the exact halfway point of the season because now we play a stupid 17 games. So now we can no longer have the exact halfway point be the end of a game. At 6-2, and regardless of what happens this Sunday, are they the second best team in the NFC, which is what their record says they are? They are the 2 seed behind Detroit. At 6-1, obviously Detroit's had their bye.
Crazy, because in the end, whether they are or aren't is irrelevant, because the measuring takes place in January, late December and January. With they are not, if they were out of it now, they could still get in it. It's just like the Yankees. To your for you, this is for you. They can still win the World Series because it's not over. See, so
Doc, I want your Dodgers to celebrate
tonight. No, you don't.
Yeah, but, I want them.
Don't.
No, I want them to raise that championship.
But what I'm saying to you is that people who measure things prematurely to me are just people that are bored in life. Whatever you come up with, this it's irrelevant
because
they got to put it on the line every week.
Yes.
And clearly, they got away with one, but they earned the right to be where they were.
Yeah,
they're good enough to win ugly. Which is a good sign.
Which is a good sign.
And the fact that they went without Coleman at left tackle, that they got banged, that's the miracle of it all. But the birth of two baby bulls in the interior of the defensive line is what cannot go unnoticed.
Well, and I want to talk about all of that to you, but, you know, just like in terms of, like, I'm kind of curious because I was thinking about this. Somebody asked me during a radio interview, I think it was my guy Bob Matthews. I did a podcast with him last night. He does a good podcast. He's, you know, Virginia-based. And we were kind of talking about this, whether they're a legit 6-2, whether they're the best team in the end. You know, and look, I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why they are what they are and why they're – and you just mentioned the two baby bulls, and we're going to get to all that because I know that's more important. But I'm just curious in terms of taking the temperature of the fan base, whether they think that 6-2 in the 2 seed right now is a real it's a real temperature. It's a real litmus test. Because we all know it can fall apart on you like it did the last time they were 6-2 in 2008. We all know at 6-3 like they were in 2018. And then Alex, unfortunately, has the awful injury. It completely fell apart on them. So we all know what could still be ahead, especially with back-to-back dates within the span of 5 days against the Keystone State teams, the Steelers next Sunday off of a bye, and then the Eagles in Philadelphia on Thursday Night Football just a couple of days later. We all know it could fall apart quickly on you. But right now, right here, can anybody argue that they're better than the Lions? I don't know how anybody could argue that they are better than the Lions. But
who
that's,
would even what numbskull would even suggest that?
Well, they're 6-2 and the Lions are 6-1. It's not like, you know.
No, you're serious. You're being serious?
Well,
are you doing
I'm saying the record says that they were a half game behind the Lions.
It sounds like you're doing a bit.
No, I'm not doing a bit.
I thought you'd do that on Wednesdays.
No, I'm not doing a bit. I'm saying I don't know how anybody could say they're better than the Lions.
I don't think anybody would say that.
But the record says they're not that far behind the Lions.
That's the thing for tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Okay, so I'm just setting it as a qualifier.
Seriously,
because
this is like, why are we doing this?
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's mano-a-mano every Sunday against your opponent.
Yeah.
All the stuff you're talking about right now,
that's
for stats, that's for bookworms. That's for all your PFFers and all that crap. It is what you see. Your eyes don't lie. We're good enough if we play smart enough to play with anybody.
Yes.
But if we don't, then you'll get your ass beat.
Yeah.
Because you do have obvious holes of a team. This team has no relevance, in my humble opinion, to anything you come up with to pass. because the staff is better. They get better run, better taught, better training. Everything is better.
Well, that's the that's kind of the point that I'm looking for, is when I say they're 6-2 and I say, are they truly the second best team in the NFC? You just said, well, it's better than Zorn. It's better than...
Because the people,
I mean,
are,
I love Jay Gruden, but better than Jay Gruden's staff.
Oh, I love Jay.
Obviously, Dan was the owner. Bruce Allen was still in charge.
But what relevance does it... What does it matter?
Doc, it doesn't have any direct...
On Sunday.
It doesn't have any direct relevance to this team other than to say, well, this is the reason why I think they are a legit 6-2 and why they haven't taken a magic carpet run. No. That's reserved for Wednesdays.
Cut my mic off.
That's reserved for Wednesdays.
He thinks I'm that kid.
You want to break down Trent Scott's performance instead of this?
Well, it's something that we may have to deal with.
I know.
We may have
Trust
to deal
me.
With.
And watching that Monday night game last night, I was trembling thinking about even Cornelius Lucas, but watching Ojulari switch sides, watching Brian Burns come in.
So that shows you how good our guys are. When you lose one, then you find out.
Yeah. Yeah, but now you've lost
two.
I mean, potentially two. And we have no update until at least tomorrow. And I can't imagine either one of them are going to practice tomorrow, but...
No, well, just like a week ago you asked me about the quarterback, and I told you. Players play. If they don't chain him down, he's going to play.
All right. So here's what I want to talk about, and then we'll get into what Doc wants to talk about in just a couple of moments. Doc wants to break down Trent Scott's future. I want to talk about how real is the 6-2. They are the number 2 seed right now in the NFC. How real is the 6-2? Is it a true 6-2 in your mind? Are they truly the second best team in the NFC? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. And why did they win that game besides the miracle Hail Mary play at the end and all that went into that? And some of the reasons is exactly what Doc mentioned, the play of two young studs in the middle of that interior on the defensive line. We'll tackle that coming up as well with you. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the DOC is in the house here with us on a Tuesday afternoon. So again, what I want to talk about is how legitimate the 6-2 record is. We've given you a couple of in 2018 they were 6-3. I think they were they weren't 6-2 because I know that because it's the first time they've been 6-2 since 2008. In 2008, I wasn't covering the team, but I was living here in the area. I was working for MLB Radio, so I was loosely paying attention, but I wasn't significantly paying attention, and I just know they weren't a legitimate 6-2. I feel they are a legitimate 6-2, even though they have blemishes. And, Doc, I was just writing something for Command Post, a Rick Snyder production, by the way, available via subscription. If you're a Commanders fan, you should sign up, digital and in print newspaper magazine. Rick's great. He does a tremendous job. So I was just writing something up last night for the edition that's coming out next week. And, you know, basically it was about making the playoffs and whatever. And I said, look. They're 6-2 right now, but they've got to, as we touched on in the first segment, they've got to clean up the red zone issues. Again, it's two games where they have had massive red zone issues at home, and they've won both games. You're not going to be able to get away with that much more. Maybe you can get away with it one more time, but you have got to make sure you clean that up, and we can diagnose some of the reasons why. But part of the reason I think you were able to get away with it is because of what you mentioned during the first segment of the show. Did you realize that, and I was there watching it, and I remember him swallowing up Caleb Williams early in the game, and they didn't give him a sack. They called it a run play for whatever reason, I guess because Caleb kind of, you know, jutted forward. You realize that Jerzon Newton, who ran out of feet to have surgery on, who was not available for week one because he was so injured, who they had to slowly ramp up, had seven quarterback pressures, according to PFF. Seven.
Yeah,
seven.
He is what Warren Sapp had. There's a few guys who in his not real tall. He's super athletic.
Mm-hmm.
But the old guy wore 99 with the Rams had it too. And it's like in a small space area, just highly explosive.
Yeah.
And he's just getting started.
Yeah.
His best is yet to come. Big Phil, I'm dude. And as they go, then the future Hall of Famer in the middle will even be better.
You're talking about Bobby Wagner?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that I
No, because he needs assists.
Right, right.
Bobby's at the point right now where the better they play, then he can be dominant.
Yeah.
But he needs a little bit of assist from them.
Yeah.
And then it just starts to roll itself together. You get more safety play. I'm a St. Juice guy. Love the Wolverine, the way the Wolverine is out there playing for him. This defense is elevating itself. Joe Witt Jr., he never shied away from it when it wasn't working. They've continued to keep swinging. And they're doing it as a group. And they're not running their mouths. They're running their legs.
Yep.
And they're just – it's a beautiful thing to see if the offense will just do its part.
How crazy is that, what you just said? If the offense just does its part, think about how that narrative has changed a little bit here. Right. And to me, I think – listen, I want them to be better in the red zone. There's no doubt. I worry about some things that others don't worry about, whatever. But I've been saying since week three, Monday night, and even the week two win, where I think they gave up too many rushing yards, but and yes, they would have lost if Graham Gano didn't get hurt, but they only allowed 18 points. While everyone and their mother has been screaming about DVOA, every radio show on our two stations, every guy on Twitter, every blogosphere, the Twitterati, all that.
Does that include
DVOA?
You know,
do you know what DVOA is?
Does that include you know who?
It includes everybody.
Him too?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what DVOA is, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm not saying it has no value, and literally it does because it's called defensive value over average or whatever it's called. But the bottom line is, everybody was screaming about DVOA and this, that, oh, how horrible they were. And I said, look, they only allowed 18 points against the Giants. On the Monday night game against Cincinnati, they got off the field three times in the first half, forced field goals. One of them were missed. And then they were inches short on fourth and one from the 1 yard line, in which they did allow a touchdown, but that barely got over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to kill the defense for that. And then the next week, 5 days later, they allowed a fourth and goal on just an unbelievable throw from Kyler Murray and an outstretched catch by Marvin Harrison Jr. And that was it. Then they shut them down pretty much the rest of the game outside of one bad drive. So I've been leading the charge, the band, what have you, that the defense is underrated and is being overlooked. You just brought up Joe Witt Jr. He has gotten more comfortable with his personnel. They lose Jonathan Allen 2.5 weeks ago, along with Dorrance Armstrong, who missed three quarters of that game in Baltimore.
Hammer.
And the Carolina game, and granted, you probably didn't need him against Carolina, but Joe Witt Jr. has crafted a defense now, Doc, has crafted a defense that I think has seven guys with multiple sacks. Seven.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's number one in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to take the ball away a little bit more. Not good enough.
Well, it was better than it was. It was nothing.
Now absolutely.
The tap is on.
Exactly. But they won a game. How many turnovers did they have, takeaways did they have on Sunday night? None, right? I don't remember.
The one.
Yeah, the one. The fumble at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
So they only had the one. Ideally, I would like them to have two. But they are winning games and controlling opponents and shutting down opponents without having to over-rely on getting takeaways, without having Jonathan Allen, with missing Dorrance Armstrong, who's their best defensive end, until he got injured for basically two games. Again, Jonathan Allen's now missed two-plus games.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Newton was slow to come around. Fedarian Mathis was almost cut. In almost everybody's eyes, he was viewed as a Ron Rivera bust, as a second-rounder. Bobby Wagner was a little slow to get going. Jeremy Chinn, I mean, your guy Linnell wanted to basically kick Jeremy Chinn in the old onions after 2 weeks. Everybody hates Benjamin's. I shouldn't say everybody hates. A lot of people don't like Benjamin St. Just in the fan base. Everybody wants Emmanuel Forbes to get the Jamin Davis treatment. Jamin Davis was cut. Think about all the things that has happened on this defense, and think about where they are right now. And some of it is opponent induced, yes, and some of it is, hey man, the Bears really screwed up, and the Bears really kind of, you know, made a mistake that you shouldn't. And by no means are the Commanders a great defense at this point, but they are not just an adequate defense at this point. I think they're a fairly good defense at this point. I think they're above average.
They're winning. And all they have to do is be good enough to win the game.
Yeah.
That's all it requires. And then the offense give them a little more help. It would have been 30-0.
Yeah.
So that was a disappointment. The part that teed me off was that we almost let that opportunity slip away, but we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a life lesson. Hopefully they will understand how close it was. I guarantee you that you don't want to be where Chicago is right now. That's a acid indigestion.
Oh, yeah.
That flight back was horrible. You can't imagine how they're lower than whale manure.
Yeah.
And now what we got to do now is go by, break the tape down critically, and then get better and keep the foot on the pedal. And I'm really looking forward to this week even more so, because until we control the division, we haven't done anything, because you got to win the division. And that's why I'm glad. And we'll also have a manhood tested over the next 2 weeks.
After this week.
Yeah, that thing in Pittsburgh is coming.
Yeah.
And
well,
so if you think you are, all that you can talk about, you can put on your little black, you all that stuff, you want to dress up like Halloween, do all that. But in 2 weeks, brother, the test is here. And that's what it's all about, getting ready for that.
Yeah.
Because that's when you're going to be. That's when your manhood will be tested.
Getting ready for that, and then Philadelphia 4.5 days later.
The season's on now.
In Philadelphia.
That's Halloween now.
You got to get through this.
All this was make-believe up to this point. Yeah. Now it's on. All right. You need to be incentivized now, you're in the wrong business.
All right. How good are they? How bona fide is the number 2 seed right now? 6-2 start, number 2 seed in the NFC. Also, what has been the key to the defense turning around? We just touched on some of the reasons. Joe Witt, obviously Johnny Newton, Fedarian Mathis, improved play by Mikey Sandrasdale, Bobby Wagner, Frankie Louvu, so on and so forth. So those two things available for you. First, let's do a trending alert. Then we'll grab your calls at 301-230-0980. If you want to get in with Doc, 301-230-0980. You can always get in with me. But you have a very limited, limited
Polly,
special.
Don't buy that, Polly.
It's a very limited time that you can reach out and touch the DOC, at least on this show. Not everywhere else, but just on this show. It's a very limited viewing.
K9s have 24/7 access to
okay.
me. They do.
They call your cell phone?
They have complete access.
301-230-0980 on the Team 980 of the Odyssey app. All right, last night in the Bronx, in case you weren't watching it, and there's good reason, because there was the Monday night game between Pittsburgh and the Giants, the next two opponents for the Commanders. Walker Buehler delivered the Dodgers a great start, a second great start in a row. On the road, Game 3 in the Bronx World Series, Dodgers up 2-0, and Buehler just gassing it. 5 scoreless innings, the Dodgers win 4-2. Doc and the Dodgers might celebrate tonight a World Series victory and a clean sweep in New York. They'll have to do it with the bullpen, of course, and the Yankees will be fighting for example. Aaron Judge continues to struggle. We will see. Game 4, first pitch, 8:08 tonight in the Bronx, again, at Yankee Stadium, as the Yankees try and avoid getting swept. Meanwhile, that Monday night game last night goes the way of the Steelers. They're next up after the Giants. Giants first this Sunday at MetLife Stadium, 1 o'clock. You can listen to the DOC right around 4 o'clock or so, right after the final gun between the Commanders and the Giants. The Commanders at 6-2 and trying to maintain their lead on first place. Tonight, The New York Rangers are in town. Remember them? They swept the Washington Capitals in the playoffs first round last year. First meeting of two. 6-1-1 for the Blue Shirts. 5-2 for the Capitals off the loss and shutout loss in Tampa. 7:30 the faceoff. So a little bit late because it's an ESPN exclusive game. That means the only radio call, the only local call, I should say, is on the radio at 7:15 with John Walton over on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending. All right, we'll get to your calls in just a wee little bit, but we do have two huge breaking news items that literally just occurred within the last 2 minutes. Stephon Diggs, he a Terp, he out for the year. We knew it was a pretty bad-looking knee injury the other day on a route, like he kind of planted and lost his, lost his balance, and that. I mean, it looked bad right from the get-go, and I pointed to somebody, I don't know if it was Grant or Hoffman, as we were watching Sunday Ticket before and during the Commanders game, and I was like, oh, that looks bad. And Stephon Diggs now is reportedly out for the season, according to Adam Schefter. I think Schefty was first on it in terms of being out for the season. So, again, a big blow for the Texans, who are on Thursday Night Football this week against those awful New York Jets. So think about this. No Stephon Diggs. No Nico Collins. He's out until at least, I think, week 10. What are we? We're week 9, right? So he's got to miss another two games because he's on IR. The Texans were kind of struggling as it was on offense. And then you have the 2-6 Jets. That's your Thursday night special.
Look, I'm not going to pile on. I'll leave that for Linnell tomorrow. But the Jets, because we've been there, it reminds me of our past here.
Yeah.
And not to have to deal with that now is refreshing.
Yeah.
But you know it's not going to work because they're not all ruined in the same direction. And it's such a contrast to what we have here now, where you can pretty much see everybody's headed the same direction. Same goal. Everybody's in it for one for all. Whereas New York, you don't even know who's in charge of the team.
No.
The poor guy with Salah is gutted. The defense was their strong suit. Yep. Now they have nothing strong.
Yep. Now they can't stop the run.
And it's it's like these. And I like Diggs, hometown kid, grassroots. Shout out to Mike Anderson and company. Hell of a player.
You know what's interesting, though, just on Diggs?
Mm-hmm.
He's been run out of two NFL buildings, right?
Like
he has. Make no mistake. Like, whatever the jock sniffers like certain people are who think athletes can do no wrong, and I just call them jock sniffers because that's the best way I could put it.
That's old school.
He was run out of Minnesota, and he was run out of Buffalo, period. Now
he's
goes to Houston.
But he runs into open arms.
Right.
Open arms.
But he goes to Houston.
Right.
We haven't heard anything bad.
Nope.
Although their offense was not as electric as people were thinking it was going to be. And again, part of that was because they lost Joe Mixon early in the year, another big offseason addition.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was because Nico Collins got banged up, so on and so forth. But now you have no Diggs. And what's interesting about this that I forgot until last night, Diggs is a free agent because of the way they redid his contract with the trade. He's a free agent. So now you're a free agent coming off of a torn ACL, having been run out of two buildings previously. So I wonder, what the market, he'll find a job. I have no doubt about that. But I wonder what the market, what the contract, what the situation is for a guy like Diggs. And even though I wouldn't want to deal with him here, could that possibly be a situation that would tempt you here?
It will be brought up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be brought up. What he does to the coverage.
Yeah.
He, on
especially
the field,
paired with Terry, right?
Dictates coverage.
Yeah.
And that gives you another weapon. But it's almost like what is going on in Miami. You know, receivers are like old gunslingers. If they don't die in battle, eventually, they just fade away
because
there's too many young guns now.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Neighbors. That's why my stance with wide receivers never changes. I love them, but they're like one on every corner now. You can go get one.
Neighbors is another interesting one, and obviously we'll have to talk more about him this week because he's so talented, yet he drops some balls that are really mystifying, and then they got blown up on that two-point conversion, the picket fence thing that the Giants were trying to do, and everybody was all upset. We'll get into that. Doc, the other big breaking news in the NFL in just the last couple of minutes, and this one makes all the sense. Talked to Jay Gruden about this yesterday. I said, Jay, what would you do if your quarterback, granted, he was running around trying to make plays, whatever, if he tapped out like Anthony Richardson said and said, I was tired, man. I needed a break, which – quite honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback that was not injured that tapped out of a game like a rotating defensive lineman and needed a break. And now, not only based on his play, but I assume based on that, Joe Flacco has been chosen. As you kind of thought when Shane Steichen said everything was on the table yesterday, Joe Flacco is now the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts, and Anthony Richardson, it's no more development time, it's no more romper room time, it's no more playpen time. It's time to take off the diapers, or you know what, leave the soiled ones on, and it's time to go to somebody with hair on his chest, and that's Joe Flacco. Apparently coaches meeting this morning and made the final decision to go to Flacco over Anthony Richardson. I think that's absolutely the right move for the Indianapolis Colts, regardless of how it turns out.
How old is Anthony? 26? Sounds like a 26.
I don't even know if he's 26.
Okay.
I'll double check that, but I'm not even sure if he's 26.
I'll say this to you. I haven't heard it happening. I do respect the fact that he didn't lie.
That's fair.
Yeah, I've heard people all morning talking about you should have made up something. Grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm tired. If that's it, and he also tells you who he is. Now, if you want that guy to lead you, then follow him. If not, give me Flacco. Mm-hmm. Same thing in Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns fans, the Browns backers, they are owed an apology. I just don't want to, but I do understand economics, and people will do things for quarterbacks they won't do for other players on the team.
By the way, Richardson is 22.
Okay, imagine.
Yeah, I thought 26 was too rich, but I thought maybe he was 23.
So he's 22.
Yeah.
Okay. Now imagine the whale at 22. Just think of that for a moment.
Well, there's no
imagine
doubt.
Imagine him at 26.
There's no doubt that young kids, young men,
right,
especially with the real pressure that you know you have as a franchise quarterback,
right,
are subject to make really poor decisions, whether it be with the words that they say, the actions that they do.
Exactly.
We saw, obviously, with Robert. We're seeing some of it with Anthony Richardson. That's what makes Jaden Daniels so far.
Exactly.
So far, so incredibly impressive.
There's always an exception to the rule.
Because I would be very, 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 very surprised if Jaden Daniels ever pulled something like that.
It's not
what Anthony
happen.
Richardson did.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, that guy, you know, like, they might have to drag him off the field. And essentially, I mean, last Sunday he was throwing the ball and he winced in pain and he came over. That different. Anthony Richardson wasn't hurt. Anthony Richardson was tired. There's a difference. I don't ever, like, did Jaden ran 8 more plays after a 46-yard run last week to start the damn game.
When you're 250-ish.
With a bad rib.
And you're that young. First of all, you're too young to ever say tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know what all the old schoolers are thinking. Son, you're too young to be tired. And so, but that's just something that I'm glad he was honest. I heard people say he should have lied. No, be you. You're a grown-ass man making money. He was honest. He'll learn from this. And we keep trying to elevate the process. He's young. He's gifted. He's talented. He's not ready. Cleveland did the same thing. There should be like an association of veteran quarterbacks. They're winning. These 38-year-old quarterbacks, they're still making money. They're still helping teams stay in it.
Except for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, but Aaron is 40. He's 40. It's a different association.
I know. I'm just teasing.
And he's
Joe Flacco's got to be 38, right?
But he's not an egomaniac.
Yeah. Well, that's the key. Right. See, the key to all of this, yeah. And I don't know Anthony Richardson well enough. All I know is he was very inexperienced coming out of Florida. Everyone talked about his lack of polish, and that's why when he shot up into the top five from basically being a mid to late first round pick, everybody's like, okay, we see why you're doing it because of his size, his athleticism, and his hose, but what has he got up here? And that's the thing about, again, I keep going back to Jaden Daniels just to bring it home, is, look, and it's the same thing with Stephon Diggs, just different circumstances. I want more Terry McLaurin's, less Stephon Diggs. I want more Jaden Daniels, less Aaron Rodgers, less Anthony Richardson's, less self-absorbed, me, I'm going to do something or say something stupid that's going to create a whole series of headlines. I've had enough of that. And people can go, oh, you're an old man shaking your thumb, whatever, shaking your fist, whatever. Yeah, it's called common sense. It's called maturity. It's called, look, I don't do everything right. I'm never going to do everything right. But that's what it's called. It's called doing the right thing as many times as you possibly can. That's what Jaden Daniels so far, has done. And that's what you have to question, certainly, about an Anthony Richardson. Certainly, you have to, you know, question about some others. I don't know if we can question it about Caleb Williams or Drake May, but the bottom line is boy, oh boy. Now, Richardson wasn't in that same draft, obviously. Mm. He was last year, but he was
Caleb
hurt.
Is real Caleb's coachable.
Yeah, I think Caleb, I think so.
Caleb, no, he's coachable. That kid is, I'll tell you what, he got out of some things that
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that's what number one looks like.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody was wondering what it kind of looks like, man, I think both these kids have bright futures. They're both mature. I think you can see both Jaden and Caleb's that desire to win. Caleb's not trying to set passing records.
No.
He's trying to win the game.
I agree.
Same with JD. That's what I love about JD.
Yeah.
It ain't about fancy stats. Can care less.
Yeah.
It's W.
I truly know that about JD. I think that about Caleb Williams, I'm not sure if I know something. That at this point.
I believe that. Okay. That man, he made more in college than most people make in the pros. So he didn't need. That's what I'm saying. He's playing for that's W's.
Fair. All right, a bunch of things on the table. We got to take a timeout, and then we'll get back to your. Or then we'll get out to your calls. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. At the DOC, I think you know that tune is in the house for another hour or so right here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's get out to the phones. At least one call here before the top of the hour. Guy Double A, not Austin in Annapolis. Linnell Willingham's worst nightmare, Athens in Annapolis, is with us right here on the Team 980. What's up, Double A?
Hey, guys. I hope you're having a great day enjoying this weather.
Thank you.
Amen.
You know, what I'll say is this, is like Doc always says, you want to get better as the season goes on. They lost John Allen, and they didn't miss a beat as a defense. They actually got better. You could talk about scheme, personnel, whatever they want. I'm looking at the results on the field. They gave up 7 points 2 weeks ago, and what was it, 15 on Sunday. That's getting better. And the good thing for Jaden, he hasn't had a lot of injuries around him. He might have lost his left tackle for a week. Hopefully Coleman's back. You only lost B-Rob for a game. Everything you need for a rookie quarterback to be successful is in place because they have a good running game and a defense that keeps getting better around him. So they are legit. They can play with anyone, but also anyone else can play with them because they're only one play away in the Cincinnati and the Chicago and the Giants game from being the game going the other way and it being a loss. So we got a ton to build on with 33 new players on this team and all the whole new coaching staff. And just imagine, like I said, if we would have had one of those first round picks before Jaden work out.
Yeah, I mean, because none of them have. I mean, you know.
Can't make like,
Forbes won't be there next year either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if Forbes is going to make it through this year. I mean, Doc, he played 6 snaps the other day. He whiffed on a tackle or he kind of olayed a tackle and they benched him. And that was 1 week after he had the interception.
But you can't make this up. That Rodriguez the guys that they passed on are all pro. Made teams and good, but they're all pro.
Yeah.
So this is one that's going to stick out like a sore thumb. But nevertheless, we got enough to get a job done as long as we avoid that injury bug and people just stay humble and keep working their butts off. That's the good news. Nothing can reverse this from us but us.
You know, and AA, you were at the game, obviously, on Sunday. I mean, they've been able, I think, to make up for some of the blemishes of the past, if you will, by having what's called a good all-around team. I mentioned the statistic. I think it's 7 players now that have multiple sacks, right? That's only one measurement. Sacks are certainly not the end-all be-all, but that's what a team does, right? Is it tries to cover up its blemishes or its weaknesses, and sometimes you bench them so that they don't hurt you on the field, and you find a way to get it from here, get it from there, get it from here. Not just from one guy, you get it from 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 guys.
Hard to game plan that.
You're seeing this team completely. You're seeing this team completely bought in. That the coaching staff had a vision. It took a while for the defense to catch up, but you're seeing the quarterback, the franchise is in there 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You're seeing these guys have all bought in, and they're playing for each other, like Doc always says. In Gibbs' first year, they were Air Coryell. They went away from it. They got on track with what they did right, and look at the results after that. But, hey, for Emmanuel Forbes, at least he got his participation trophy to help the Bears players get up off the ground at the end of the game.
That's true, and that was nice of him. That was
a good. He'll get paid for that.
Yeah, that was being a good sportsman. Thank you, Double. I appreciate you as always. By the way, it's Dante Fowler with 4.5 sacks, Frankie Louvu 4, Dorrance Armstrong with 3, Bobby Wagner with 2, Cleveland Farrell with 2, and remember, he's missed a bunch of games, and so has Armstrong. Jonathan Allen, who's obviously missed the last 2+ games and is out for the year, had 2. And Deron Payne, 1.5. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys with 2 sacks or more. And again, obviously, Jonathan Allen is out for the year. But still, I mean, you know, pretty darn impressive. And it's called getting production from everywhere else. Time to take a quick timeout here for the top of the hour. We will return with more of your phone calls. We see you, G, Tim, Jonesy. We're getting at to you right away in the 2 o'clock hour on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.